Are you kidding me? You call this a game here, you call this a franchise. Looks like we came here just for the french fries. What are they doing? Went right through his hands. No use to call it audible, cause no one understands. We're screaming and we're booing, you call this the main event? Get out of here! Tell me what my team is doing, I'm in pain, I got a vent! I got a vent!
Welcome back to Sports Venting Radio with Frustrated Phil and the Waz. On the line, we have Ian Goldberg. Ian is the founder and CEO of iSport 360, which is a sports tech company that helps youth sport coaches and parents share objective player feedback. In addition, Ian also publishes a newsletter called The Chaotic World of Youth Sports. Ian, you're on Sports Venting Radio. How are you doing?
Good. Great to be with you guys.
Great to have you, Ian. So, Ian, tell me a little bit about iSport 360 and what you folks do.
Sure. We started this company 2 years ago. After coaching my kids for about 7 years, I realized we just needed help having coaches and parents communicate and share feedback on their players. So we launched our app last year, and then we started publishing this sports parenting newsletter because we realized that sports parents really need a support group. So it's been going very well.
How does the app work?
Well, coaches set up their roster, and they can very quickly start to set goals for the players on their team. They get the parents on the same page, and then throughout the season, coaches and parents can share specific and actionable feedback on the kids, and that way parents know exactly how their kids are doing. So there's no big surprises at tryout time, and there's no big surprises as to why the coach is playing certain players more than others.
Okay, great. And in terms of the newsletter, The Chaotic World of Youth Sports, I love that name. So who actually writes some of the articles in the letter? Do you have some articles from coaches as well as parents?
Absolutely, coaches and parents, but more importantly, probably our best articles have the influence and input from psychologists who help us understand why parents and coaches behave the way they do. We have educators who write about how kids develop and how we can help their development. We have professional ball players. Anyone who has perspective on youth sports, we invite to write for the newsletter.
Okay, great.
Ian, what's the biggest difference you've seen in the last 25 years with parents in youth sports?
How much time do we have today? probably the biggest thing is that, as you may notice, the more money that parents spend on their kids' sports, the more emotional, passionate, stressed they become, and the more demanding they become about the results. And, you know, over the last 20 years, parents are now spending 10 to 20 times what they were on their kids' sports. And, you know, even through this great recession, we have seen travel sports climb dramatically while recreation sports have been on the decline, and that's just amazing to me.
Right. And I was talking to a mother who literally spends her summer at traveling baseball tournaments. That is their vacation. They rent hotels, and they literally make that their summer vacation weekend after weekend.
I think they call them sportcations now, and that industry alone, travel related to youth sports, is a $10 billion a year industry in our country.
Wow. What tips and advice would you give to parents on how to interact with coaches?
Well, I've learned a lot because I've really been studying parent behavior and coach behavior. So the first thing I always tell parents when I'm coaching or if I'm a sports parent on the sideline with them is let the coaches coach. I know we all want to yell from the sidelines. We all have ways we think we can contribute to the kids doing better in the game. But a lot of times we're not yelling the same things as the coach, and it puts a lot of pressure on the kids. So the first thing is cheer all you want from the sidelines, but just don't coach. And then the second thing is just keep open lines of communication with the coach. At the beginning of the season, I think especially when parents are paying as much money as they are today, they deserve to hear what the coach's goals are for the season and for the kids. And then I think it's very fair of parents to ask the coach for some feedback. And I'm talking about, you know, with younger kids, parents should be asking. But as kids get to be 12, 13, 14, I think it's their responsibility to say to the coach, how am I doing? What can I do better? And what can I do that would get me more playing time?
Right. So in your, you know, in your travels as a parent of players and coaching and running the app and running the newsletter, I gotta ask you, what is the craziest thing that you've seen on the field slash court with a parent slash coach?
Oh, can you answer that? Have some fun.
Okay.
I can't mention any names. I would never do that to anyone. But, I mean, look, we've all read all the stories of coaches fighting with coaches and physical altercations. Sadly, it really happens like every weekend in our country. I mean, you hear of referees getting attacked and coaches getting attacked.
Mm-hmm.
My personal two experiences that I guess you could say scarred me were, one year I had a parent run onto the soccer field in the middle of the game and literally drag her daughter off the field because she felt like her daughter was getting hurt and, you know, we weren't protecting her. Mm. And that was a friend of mine, actually. But parents on the sidelines are really, really jacked up with emotion and adrenaline. The second thing, and this is my firsthand experience with something I did, when my daughter was 9 playing travel soccer, at the end of the game when the kids are high-fiving each other to say nice game, I saw a girl from the other team punch my daughter in the stomach.
Oh, wow.
And I just started running full speed onto the field. I'm 6'3". I've trained martial arts for 10 years, but I was going to beat up that little girl. And it took me about 1.5 seconds to realize that was not a good idea. So I redirected towards the coach of the other team,
right,
and I was going to beat him up. And then maybe 2 seconds after that, I realized this is all just a bad idea. And I went up to the coach and controlled myself and said, "Coach, can you talk to that player? You know, she just punched my player." And it ended okay. The coach had a talk with his player. But that's how crazed we are on the sidelines of these games. And it's because we are in fight or flight mode.
Okay.
And I have research to back this up, but our adrenaline levels are so high, we're not thinking before we speak or act on the sidelines as parents and coaches. And, you know, that's when the problems start.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think back to when I played Little League and, you know, we're going back to the late 70s and early 80s. And you had mentioned it, you know, we're in like a fight or flight mode. The parents seem crazed on the sidelines. I think, you know, when I was doing Little League, you know, we just showed up. You know, the parents would chit-chat with one another. You know, there might be one or two dads. You know, I will tell a quick funny story. One time I was playing Little League baseball, and I lost a pop fly at third base in the sun, and the ball, you know, bounced off my neck. And I remember my dad yelling from the stand, "Oh, we got to get you a glove for your neck." And, you know, everyone laughed, but it wasn't as crazy as it is now. And I, is it the parents? Is it the coaches? Is it a mix of both? I mean, I was at a youth basketball game this past year, and there was, you know, not an altercation, but all of a sudden one of the coaches pulled one of the players off the court. You know, they were coming after a break. And the players were on the court, and one of the coaches pulled the player off the court, and no one could figure out why. And, you know, the next thing you know, people are talking, what's going on? And, you know, here it turned out, during the timeout, the player, who I think was 11, 12 years old, is Instagramming and Snapchatting during the huddle. And ended up going back on the court, and the coach was like, whoa, you know, pulled it off the court, and you know, all of a sudden, it almost turned into a situation. And, you know, I think personally the coach did the right thing. And, you know, you got to teach, you know, some of the players a little bit of discipline. But it is crazy. I sometimes feel myself when I go to my daughter's games, like, on the edge of my seat, and my heart's going to, you know, pound out of my chest.
That's right. That's right. And to answer your question, whose fault is it? It's really, it's no one's fault in particular. It's called the commercialization of youth sports.
Mm-hmm.
And what's changed now versus when you were a kid was and I think we're about the same age, but when we were young, you can go out in the park, go in someone's backyard, go in the schoolyard. You can organize a game.
Yeah.
You could all play ball with your friends. You improved your skills, and it cost nothing.
Right.
Now, again, going back to how much money parents are spending, they demand results. And I think they're kind of entitled to it when they're paying $3,000 a year for their kids' travel soccer club.
Right. And also, one of the biggest events of the summer every year, which is going on right now, is the Little League World Series, where these 12 and 13-year-old boys are on TV, not only doing the Little League World Series, but they have the regionals. And it is saturated with this Little League World Series this entire 10 days of the summer. And these people almost become celebrities during the 10 days.
Yeah, it's an exciting time. I'm such a baseball fan. I'm a purist. I just love the game. But I have to tell you, 1 in 1,000 kids gets a sports scholarship to college,
mm-hmm. Wow.
Yet 1 in 2 parents thinks their kid is scholarship worthy.
Wow.
That's the problem. So they all get caught up in this Little League World Series. But I have to tell you, unless you are the best kid in your neighborhood, the best kid in your local league,
right,
you're not scholarship worthy. Yeah. So, there's a real expectation gap.
Well,
to say the least.
Yeah, God bless Papa Waz, because when I played Little League, he was my coach 1 year, and I didn't get to make the All-Star team, and I asked him why. He said, because you're not good enough. And not a happy night in the Waz household that night, but, he gave it to me, straight from the hip, and didn't mince any words. So.
That's right. Well, this is the age of the participation trophy, and which is quite controversial. So your dad was realistic.
Yep.
He did the right thing. It's a little different these days.
Yep. So, Ian, we're gonna go to break. Before we go to break, I want to thank you again for coming on. Great call. You can check out iSport360.com, and you can also check out Ian's newsletter called The Chaotic World of Youth Sports. Ian, it was a great call. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thanks, Ian.
Love venting together, guys. Thank you.